This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Good morning, everyone. Great to have your company for Talking Horses this week. Busy show coming up as spring racing gets into full swing and the breeding season is well underway also. This morning, we'll have Sebastian Hutch from Inglis joining us to talk about the recent online sales trends and also the ready-to-race sale that's coming up next month. Plus, we'll introduce a new segment, Insider Insights, with highly regarded bloodstock agent Seamus Mills. He'll be joining us here on the Talking Horses team as a regular over spring to talk all things bloodstock. But first up on the program, we go to Dublin in Ireland, where Cole McKenna is currently enjoying dinner ahead of the Irish St. Ledger meeting tomorrow there, in which he has a runner, Southern France. And they're also celebrating the birth of Jamaica's first foal this week. Another high-profile mare foaled down during the week, this time Caulfield Cup winner Jamaica. She gave birth to her first foal this week at Cressfield Stud in the Hunter Valley, a foal by Impending. Cole McKenna is the owner of Jamaica. He's in Ireland at the moment. We'll talk more about why shortly. But firstly, congratulations, Cole, on the birth of Jamaica's first foal. You must be very pleased.
Yeah, well, particularly Janice, my wife, is the one that, and we all are. Yes, we had good news last night. We had a dinner in Ireland and in Dublin, and Lucille from Cressfield rang and said that she'd had a console, which Janice obviously wants. Women always want girls, men want boys. So. This time I won, and he's a beautiful, big, strong colt, and she's a good mum, so all went well. And it's pretty, it's been a bit of a trip with her, as we all know. She was crooked, she was sick, and, thanks to Bill Guy or Rick Jamison and Kelly Silcombe in particular, I looked all the vets prior to that. Everybody's involved, but and everybody has been thanked even today. But then the next phase in her life was Rick and Kelly. And Rick said, send her here, we'll let her down, we'll look after her, we'll get her in foal, blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't speak better of those people. I think they're fantastic people. And Janice and I will be forever thankful because our mayor is pretty special. Who knows what happens as we go forward.
Yeah, that's right. So she's not had any health issues since retiring to stud, no. Cole?
No. She's a little bit odd. A couple of times she had just tied up a little bit. But no, she's perfect, 100% perfect. And that's why she wouldn't be in the Hunter Valley where she is now if she wasn't. But she was right, and she got up, she's foaled. And everything is 100%. And that's what it should be, but it doesn't always work out that way, does it?
No. So a colt has been delivered. Is the plan, Cole, to keep this horse and race it yourselves?
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, that's something we'll work out. Who knows? He's only less than 24 hours or about 24 hours old, so nobody knows. But everything's got to be commercial in my life, and sometimes, the women around us get a little bit sentimental. But as we go through the next 12 months, I would think he would be going on to be sold, because that's what it's about, particularly with colts. That's a commercial decision, isn't it? We've got her full brother, and he's about to kick off in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and. We bought him at the Magic Millions last year, or this year, just gone. And can't just get too many around you.
But, yeah. What's he been named, Cole?
He's going to be named, he is named Grand Slam. Obviously, it's a tennis name, as you'd know, because that's where she got her name from, Jamaica. And as everybody knows that story, with Serena Williams, second name, so we needed we tried for quite a few names, Sedgman and all these names. But anyway, we settled on Grand Slam. That was the only one we could get, because a lot of the others are pretty popular.
And has the colt shown much yet?
Oh, he's going all right, yeah. I mean, you never know until they race, and if they race. But no, we're quite pleased at the moment with him, and he'll probably, at this moment, we feel he'll probably be in the early races. But look, you never know until they get on the track, and or more so until they go past the winning post first up. Is that right? So that'll tell us if they've got ability or they haven't got ability. He's a big, strong colt. Beautiful nature. So who knows? You know, but you've got to be very careful with that full brothers and full sisters because usually they don't work out. But sometimes there's an exception, and we'll see if this is one.
Fingers crossed he does work out. So back to this colt that Jamaica's just had by Impending. Interesting, the decision to go to that particular Darley stallion and put some speed into the pedigree there.
Well, he's a beautifully bred stallion, Impending, and I actually, or Janice and I, and Mel, because Mel fell into a little share in her, which she wanted to leave, and we love it. We love our partners in our horses. So we decided to, myself, ask Rick, because he bred her, and he also bred Black Caviar, so I think he's been pretty successful in breeding, and I asked him to have a look at the breeding and for us, and we all had our own opinions, and she was booked to go here and to go there and to go somewhere else. People said to go there. We gave us three opinions. One of the stallions was in Queensland, one was in the Hunter, and the other one, he was the next, and it was his third pick, which was his third match. And it sort of mapped pretty well because we didn't want to send her to the Hunter or Queensland after she had that issue with her health until she had one foal, got it over and done with, and we'll go forward from there, you know. So that was why she went to Impending. I like Impending. He's a lovely stallion. I've got quite a few knobs in him, and we like him. And Darley pretty good to us. So that was why she went there. And then this year, now she's in the Hunter at the moment because she'll be covered by Dundale.
A wise choice. He's on fire, isn't he?
He is on fire, yeah. And, I mean, we don't always go for fashion, but that was another selection that probably I came up with myself. And as people know, I have Andy Macoff, that Godolphin man, but he gives me a lot of advice too. And Andy is quite happy. He doesn't push his staff, but they don't push their stallions. I mean, Janice and I make our own opinion on our mares, and that was the selection. And I run it past Rick, and he said it's very, very good, a good match. So her mum's gone to, I believe her mum has gone, or a half sister, not full. Her sister's gone to Dunville too. So you know he's using. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And now you're in Ireland at the moment, Cole, and for very good reason, which I'm sure will be of interest to our listeners this morning. You've got a share now in a horse by the name of Southern France, which has been supplemented for the International Irish St. Ledger at the Curra, which will be run today, our time there. Now, this four-year-old is set to have his last race in the care of Aidan O'Brien, and that was after being sold by Coolmore to you and a number of other people with the aim of setting the horse for the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, well, that's, we come upon this horse just recently, and it's actually guaranteed it's Australian Thoroughbred that saw the horse in the first place, and there's Darren and his team has still got a share, which is good, because yeah, these horses there's a fair bit of risk in them, and quite a bit of risk, quite a bit of money, quite a bit of risk, and doesn't hurt to. I like to share the risk, but we also like synergies. And he won the Derby trial, the St. Ledger trial, and then said, well, he'll be running on this tomorrow. Last year, and I said, well, give it this way. You see, a lot of we've had a bit of ups and downs in our life recently with losses and so forth, not in horses, but I mean, a couple of friends have gone, and said, well, you only live once, so we'll go and see him run in the Group 1 at the Curra. And he's a lovely horse. I didn't lay eyes on him until yesterday. He'll go to Kieran when he comes to Melbourne, who was part also of the security. And we went down to Ballydore yesterday, and it's a wonderful place. You would have been there. A lot of people have been there. It's an unbelievable place. And, you know, you couldn't ask for a better, you know, help or person, considerate person than Aidan O'Brien. Could not speak more highly of him. I did know Joseph. I knew Aidan because he trained Merchant Navy for us, but I didn't know him that well. And I spent a fair bit of time yesterday, and this horse is a, you know, he's a very good type. He's about, I think he might be third or fourth on the betting line for tomorrow, so he's in there with a chance. I don't know whether he's good enough. We'll find out. But our handicapper in Greg Carpenter and his team, they've got him in about, I think he's 55 and a half in the Nolan Cup, so he's got enough weight. He's sitting about 8 or 9 or 10 or something in the list. So we just got to keep him together. I'd say at this present moment, you would say he's in the Cup, but we've got to get him there. And he's a very, very nice horse. He's Galileo, and a big, strong horse, 16, 2¾ or something like that. Love his big horse. But we'll see.
Yeah. Now, there's a number of other potential Cup hopefuls as well running at the Curra this weekend. So it's going to be a smorgasbord of horses you'll be seeing.
Most of them, I'd say most of them will be coming forward. We didn't go to Macclestown today. We did watch them on TV, and we were all, I was speaking to Aidan yesterday. He didn't talk about his horse, their horses, but I mean, you know, we're just saying, well, you've got this one going, you've got that one going, and beautifully bred horses, and obviously Galileo is the star in the world, and particularly he's very, very strong in Ireland, and he had a daughter win the Group 1 today at Leopardstown, and I mean, these horses are hard to come by. It's only they'll sell them at 3 and 4 year old, and they'll certainly won't sell them at 2 year old, generally. That's why we bought him, and that's why we're here. So we'll be back home tomorrow on Monday night. It's only a 4 day trip, but been here plenty of times before, and so I'm going to go work. I said to Janice, we'll go across and see a horse run. I don't know if there's many of the others here. I haven't had a chance because we only left home on the Thursday morning, and I haven't had a chance to talk, but I think there may be two other owners here, but we'll see. That's got to be shared in.
Be exciting if the horse could win.
Well, it would be, but even if he doesn't, as you know, Joe, if they don't win, they'll get their day in the sun. You've just got to, you've got to be there. And I suppose one negative, if he did win, he cop weight in the Cup. So one positive, if he doesn't win, well, he probably gets in the Cup at 55 and a half. So, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter to us. It'll be, it'll be God's, as Aidan said yesterday, it'll be God's will. And that's what it is. If he wins or if he doesn't win, then we're not going to complain. Okay.
Yeah. Well, all the best of luck, Cole, with the horse. And, again, congratulations on Jamaica's colt arriving this week, and all the best with the process now as she soon goes to visit Dundeal.
Yes. Well, that's what it's going to be about, isn't it? we're looking forward to it. And, it's a lottery in the racehorse business. It's all a lottery. And just go on quietly and do your own thing, and I think that sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. We've had a bit of luck, and I couldn't say we've ever had a bad luck in the race, and we've only just had a little bit of luck, and everything else has gone as it is, so we're happy. Okay?
Yeah. Fantastic to catch up with you, Cole. Enjoy Ireland and your dinner tonight. Thanks for taking some time out. I hope it's not getting cold.
Bad luck. Thank you. Good on you.
All right. That's Cole McKenna joining us from Ireland. He'll be attending the Irish St. Ledger meeting at the Curra later today, Australian time, to watch his horse Southern France go round, a horse that's now on a quest to come out for the Melbourne Cup.
The results that matter. The Talking Horses Racing Run-Through.
Spring was in the air at Flemington yesterday. We opened the program with a 2,500-metre race won by Al Faris, a six-year-old gelding by Shamadal, out of a Dancilly mare, Rose et Noir. The second race on the program was the listed Cape d'Antibes Stakes over 1,100 metres. Way Up in the Sky was the winner, a three-year-old filly by Snitzel, out of a Lonro mare, The Darling One. Way Up in the Sky is related to a winner, Run Finn Run, and was sold for $400,000 at the 2018 Inglis Australian Easter Yearling Sales. The listed Exford Plate over 1,400 metres won by Legionnaire, a three-year-old gelding by Stratum, out of an O'Reilly mare, Matron. The listed Sofitel Stakes over 1,400 metres was won by Rocks the Castle, a five-year-old gelding by Castledale, out of a Rock of Gibraltar mare, Run Roxy Run. The Group 2 Dane Hill Stakes over 1,200 metres was won by Dallasan, a three-year-old colt by Dallacani, out of a Kitten's Joy mare, Candelar. Dallasan is related to a winner, Liberty Lover, and they paid $80,000 for him at the 2018 edition of the Inglis Premier Yearling Sale. The Group 2 Let's Elope Stakes over 1,400 metres won by Spanish Whisper, a four-year-old mare by Lope de Vega, out of an Encosta de Lago mare, Cutting Remark. Spanish Whisper is related to winners Last Try Wins and the Cabarita Kid. The Group 1 Maccabi Diva Stakes over the mile, and a huge upset there. The race won by 100-1 shot Gatting, a six-year-old gelding by Hardspun, out of a Lonro mare, Stubborn. Gatting is related to a winner, Masagi. The Group 2 Bobby Lewis over 1,200 metres. Zatori was too good, a four-year-old gelding by Zoostar, out of a Harada Sun mare, Atatori. Zatori is a $160,000 yearling sales purchase at Easter in 2017. The ninth event was the Vale Russell Cameron Handicap over 1,700 metres, and Mosh Music was the winner, a five-year-old mare by Moshe, out of a Jeune mare, Dirt Music. Mosh Music is related to a winner, Dirtomic. And we had black type racing in Sydney yesterday at Rosehill Gardens. The Dulcify Stakes at listed level over 1,500 metres was won by Just Thinkin, a three-year-old gelding by So You Think, out of a Tale of the Catmare, Nothing Like Her. Just Thinkin is related to winners Stampede and Thinkin Big, and was sold for $350,000 at Easter in 2018. The Group 2 Run to the Rose over 1,200 metres was won by Bivouac, a three-year-old colt by Exceed and Excel, out of a More Than Ready mare, Dazzler. Bivouac is related to winners Coruscate and Sparks. The Group 2 Theo Mark Stakes over 1,300 metres. Arcadia Queen was successful, a four-year-old mare by Piero, out of a Redoute's Choice mare, Arcadia. Arcadia Queen is related to winners Arcadia Delight, Arcadia Dream, Arcadia Prince, Arcadia Rose and Sky Atlas. And the Group 2 Scirocco Stakes over 1,200 metres was won by Mizzy from the Anthony Cummings team, having great form at the moment, aren't they? She's a four-year-old mare by Zoostar, out of a Magnus mare, Missy Cummings. Mizzy was sold for $200,000 at Easter in 2017.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
As they reach the 400 metres, it's Dubious in front, held together by a length and a half. Two in second, Dallasan. Clark's gone for the whip, and then Hawker Hurricane, Sebricate and Express Pass, who's very wayward, then Super Seth. Dubious at the 200 metres now. Dallasan is digging in. Dallasan up to Dubious at the 100. Sebricate and Express Pass. Dallasan and Dubious stride for stride. Dallasan! Class will get it home. Dallasan won it.
A good win by Dallasan in yesterday's Group 2 Dane Hill Stakes at Flemington. Dalasan was an $80,000 English Premier purchase for his trainers from the Mill Park draft. Dalasan was bred by the South Australian-based Toorak Thoroughbred Breeding Trust and is the second winner from stakes-placed Kitten's Joy mare, Candelar, who comes from an international family featuring group winners Gallic Boy, Smoky Stover and Dreadnought. Mill Park sold a colt by Dissident from Candelar at Inglis Premier this year for $110,000, and the mare has foaled this spring already, producing a filly by So You Think. Dalasan is one of 53 stakes winners worldwide for the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe and French Derby winner Dalakani, who shuttled to Cornerstone stud for three seasons. Looking forward to the Inglis Ready to Race sale, which will take place next month. And they staged a number of breeze-up sessions at Cranbourne during the week, five of them, in fact. Sebastian Hunch from Inglis joining us this morning. How are you, Sebastian?
Morning, Jill. How are you?
Good. How did the breeze-ups go?
Yeah, look, it's an important time for the vendors as part of that sale. We have a series of breeze-up sessions, as you mentioned, Cranbourne being the first. We have a session at Warwick Farm next Friday and then Eagle Farm and Taupo the following Monday. So this is the opportunity for the vendors to showcase their horses. So all the work that they've done up till now is basically the effectiveness of that work is demonstrated at the breeze up. And fortunately, it went really well. It's important to have good conditions for the breeze. You know, times are an important part of the consideration of these horses. Unfortunately, they good conditions at Cranbourne on Friday, and the horses breezed well and went off without incident, and the vendors were very happy, and we expect that buyers will be very happy when they see the evidence of the breezes on video and analysis of the times and the movement of their horses, etc.
Yeah. 63 well-educated two-year-olds went through the breeze-ups at Cranbourne during the week. They, of course, breeze up over 200 metres, and the fastest was lot number 20, the final breeze of the day. This was a colt by Better Than Ready being offered by Lauriston Thoroughbred Farm.
Look, Lauriston and James O'Brien and his team are very strong advocates of this sales format. You know, they've been good vendors through the Inglis Ready to Race series for a number of years, and James is very bullish that this is as strong a crop of breeze up horses as he's had. That horse breezed very well, as did a number of the other horses of Lauriston's. You know, they've had good success training horses through the format, not just domestically but internationally, to particularly Southeast Asia. And again, you know, James is very adamant that for him the process is about trying to identify high quality race horses of the future. You know, what this process does is it brings horses that might have been through a yearling sales schedule or not. It brings them, you know, 6 months further down the line. These horses are broken in training, demonstrated they can stand up to training, shown they can gallop, so buyers can make that bit more an informed decision as to the merit of their horses at this formatted sale. And, you know, I think James alluded to it when he spoke after the breeze. You know, they're very conscious of trying to identify horses that they feel can go on and be quality gallopers, and that was again in evidence with how their horses breezed on Friday.
Yeah. And Sebastian, the times, photos and videos of those breeze-ups are available on a pretty quick turnaround within 48 hours?
Yeah, so they'll go up this afternoon, Sunday afternoon. You know, people analyse them in different ways. You know, people like to analyse the times. So they like to analyse the gait of the horses. Some people like to follow closely how the horses gallop out after the breeze, you know, see how strong they are through the line. You know, I think it's important for us to emphasise and important for everybody that's paying attention to this format of sale to consider that the people preparing these horses are very, very good horse people. And, you know, they're not necessarily just preparing the horses for the sale, but they're preparing the horses for a future on the race course. Times are important, but they're not everything. You know, people like to see horses that move well, that look sound. You know, a lot of these horses, or a number of these horses, end up in Southeast Asia where, you know, they're not likely to race at a higher level until deep into their three-year-old year, even 4 or 5-year-old season. So you want to try and find horses that are sound, robust. And again, that's the advantage of this format, because these horses have demonstrated their ability to not just stand up to training conditions, but to thrive in them. And we're proud to be working with a particular group of vendors that we've got. We've worked hard. You know, Matt Scown and Will Stott in our office in particular have worked very hard to try and work with a group of vendors that we feel can help achieve not just the best results for the sale, but the best result for our buyers. And the effectiveness of this is demonstrated by the fact that over the last 5 years, the English Ready to Race sale has the best winners to runners ratio of any sale of that format in Australasia. So it's a great compliment to our vendors, and hopefully it's reflected in the results of this year's sale.
And the English Ready to Race sale will be held at the Riverside Stables on Tuesday, October 22, Sebastian.
Yeah. So a couple of days or a few days after the Everest, it's a fantastic time of the year. The eyes of the racing world are very much tuned into what's happening in Australia at that time of the year. We've, you know, Caulfield Cups, Cox Plates, Melbourne Cups, Everests, all manner of fantastic and valuable races across New South Wales and Victoria. So it's a great time to be able to offer a group of horses for sale. And as I said, we're particularly proud of the group of horses that have been assembled for this year's sale. You know, we've all the right stallions represented, very strong group of vendors, and importantly, those vendors are very happy with how the horses are progressing.
Yeah. And Sebastian, the rise of the online sales concept, the digital sale that you had recently, the online auction with the top lot, Dagny, selling to Kitchwan Hills for $140,000, says a lot as to how far this type of concept and initiative has come in the industry.
It's really been nothing short of extraordinary, to be perfectly honest with you, Joe. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest, it's not something that I was particularly familiar with or particularly engaged with prior to my time or prior to commencing at Inglis. But Mark, and in particular Nick Melmoth, who drives the digital division, have done an incredible job in launching a platform now that's a very, very significant platform in the context of the Australian bloodstock industry or Australasian bloodstock industry. I think the turnover through the online auction since the start of 2018 would, I think the last sale saw it exceed $28 million, which is a massive amount of money in the market when you consider, you know, how many existing sales there are already. I mean, since the start of August alone to the end of the early September sale, those three auctions turned over just short of $3 million. I think we're on 29 individual $100,000 plus lots. I've lost count of how many $50,000 plus lots. It'd be well in excess of 60 lots at this stage. So, you know, it's not just a format for moving lower end stock around the country and internationally. It's actually become a very, very effective format and a timely format for people to trade higher end horses as well. You know, the record price has been broken a number of times in the last few months with a filly called Set Goals that made $321,000 in June, and then in July, Manea made $400,000. So, you know, they were both record prices, so the record price stands at $400,000.
Yeah.
We didn't come close to tackling that last month, but again, there were some very good sales. You know, Kitchwan Hills buying Dagny, as you mentioned. Arrowfield bought Meraki Miss, who's a half sister, salmoned out for $110,000. I believe she's going to the Autumn Sun. You know, so the breeding industry and the racing industry are very much in tune with what's happening through this format, and it's demonstrated by the results.
Yeah. So there are now two sales staged per month. Entries close for the September late online auction next Wednesday.
Yeah, look, the demand for the format was so strong that we held an auction at the end of July that had over 360 lots in it. And while that sale was very successful, we felt to be able to service the market effectively, we had to avoid having such large catalogues again where we could. So in 2020, we'll have eight auctions in which there are two auctions a month. And then there'll be a few months of the year where there'll just be one because of clashes with live auctions, etc. But effectively, it allows us to service the market more effectively. You know, we'll have a second auction at the end of September, the entries for which, as you mentioned, close on Wednesday. There'll be two auctions in October and in November. And again, it allows people a time, who want to turn over stock or maybe take advantage of positive circumstances to do so in a timely and transparent manner. You know, you make your horse available to not just a significant domestic market, but a massive international one as well. We have bidders from right across the world in pretty much every auction, you know, not just Australia and New Zealand, but, you know, interested parties from Europe, Southeast Asia. It's really been a revelation, and it's something that we envisage continuing to go to strength to strength as long as we continue to make the right decisions around it.
Yeah. To enter a horse for these sales, Sebastian, it's as simple as literally clicking a button and entering the data. But what's the criteria that these horses essentially must meet in a nutshell?
Well, it's very straightforward in terms of entering a lot. You know, what we encourage people to do is be as transparent as is practical or as is possible when disclosing information. You know, we encourage people to supply all the necessary veterinary reports, photographs, videos, and there's a very positive correlation between a disclosure of information and stock selling better through the platform. I mean, the auction is subject to very similar conditions of sale to what a live auction is, so those conditions of sale are available on the site, and, you know, they're easy to navigate and understand for people. But we do encourage people to make as much information available in a timely manner as is possible, because, you know, obviously there are time and distance constraints around people being able to inspect the stock. So the more information that's made available to prospective buyers, you know, the better the stock sells.
Yeah, some very interesting insights there. Sebastian, thanks for talking to us on the show this morning.
Joe, pleasure, anytime.
Talking Horses Insider Insights.
It's fantastic to have Melbourne-based bloodstock agent Seamus Mills joining us now as a regular on Talking Horses. Good morning, Seamus.
Morning, Joe.
There's been plenty happening in the bloodstock world right across the industry this week, and we'll start off by talking about the Godolphin outbidding at Coolmore on the $4.1 million Curlin colt at the Keeneland September sale. Unbelievable result.
Yeah, huge result, and not to be downplayed, I'd say, for Australian interests. Obviously, with that colt being out of Australian bred mare, Kiwi raced bounding, a daughter of Lonro, and which is, as I say, a significant result for Australian bloodstock.
Yeah, it was. Did you see the imagery of the horse? So, what were your thoughts on him as a type?
Well, I mean, the image-wise, he looked a beautiful son of Curlin, who really is the hottest sire in the US at the moment. And it would not be surprising at all if he was if he was pretty special. I would say that Bounding would be certainly up there in the top, you know, three or five mares that I've ever seen in my life. She's as good a model as ever produced, I would suggest. So. She obviously has thrown something that perhaps got that bone and substance that perhaps some of those US horses can sometimes lack.
Yeah, and as you say, it's a terrific result for the profile of Australasian racing, being from the New Zealand champion sprinting mare Bounding, as you say, a good type herself. What do you think that does in the broader eyes of people in the bloodstock world for the profile of the industry here?
Well, I think the American market has grown increasingly important for Australia. I think that there's a lot of Americans now. Obviously, we're seeing not an influx as yet, but we've certainly seen an increased presence at our sales, both at yearling and mare sales. One of the best up there, John Secure of Hillendale Farms, came down a couple of years ago and secured two mares from our famous Reduced Choice family, and has had a lot of success with the two mares that he bought so far, with selling progeny out of those two. And now this mare, obviously, not topping the sale, but second top lot, and you know, that'll shed a lot of light on the Australian market. And I do think we'll see an increased presence from the Americans. So I think it's a significant result.
Mm. And what have been some of the other notable outcomes at Keeneland that have caught your attention, Seamus?
Well, look, obviously the $8.2 million mare is, a filly, I should say, is, well, significant. It's the highest price filly ever sold at Keeneland, and just looking at records, depends on how you do the conversion rate. The second highest price filly sold anywhere in the world, anywhere. Obviously that's a significant sale. I don't think you get much better as far as bloodstock goes than an American fare. The top stones in America, a half to Mendelssohn, has obviously just gone to stud down here, or gone to stud for Coolmore in both hemispheres, and a half to Beholder, who 11-time Group 1 winning filly. So she was a rare offering, and it's also pretty rare to see Coolmore and Darley outbid with Randy Pope's Whisper Hill Farm securing that filly, $8.2 million. Sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, but I actually think it's a pretty astute purchase. She'll be worth a lot of money for the rest of her life, and unlike colts, she can't be gelded, so she can be a long-term proposition. Andy Pope's no stranger to those sort of figures. She bought both Harvard de Grace and Songbird when they retired. I think Songbird might have been $10 million and Harvard de Grace $9.5 million. So Mandy has got a bit of steel when it comes to these sort of purchases, and to fend off, I believe, Darley and Coolmore, credit to her.
Yeah. And on the local sales front, Seamus, the Inglis Ready to Race sale is coming up at the end of October, an interesting concept. And the Breeze Ups were staged at Cranbourne this week.
Yeah, on a soft five, I believe, which I think is fine, not getting sort of, you know, too wet, which these sometimes these Breeze Ups can be. And from a buyer's point of view, it's always a little tricky if you go to the sales and some of the Breeze Ups have been held on good tracks and others a bit softer. Certainly in the past when they've had horses come from New Zealand, some of the Breeze Ups are held on, you know, close on heavy 10. So I think soft five was pretty fair for all participants. And I think there was some nice horses trialled down there. I've been able to see a few of the videos so far, looked a little bit through the catalogue. Just under 200 lots this year. So it is a concept that, whilst it hasn't grown, I think it holds a little bit of a niche market, obviously an overseas market predominantly. But it looks an interesting catalogue, and as I said, I thought there were some good breezes.
And are there some quality entries in the catalogue?
Yeah, look, there is a few. You know, they've got Nine Invincible, Written Tycoon, Dundeal, Medaglia, More Than Ready. So there's certainly some good stallions represented. Damn side of things, I suppose the hot would have to be the half to Your Deal, who's champion two-year-old last season in New Zealand. But yeah, there's some other nice offerings, and as I say, being a predominantly sort of overseas market, I think the way these horses breeze and not necessarily their times, but their action and how they look goes a long way to securing the better prices.
Mm. And the Inglis Digital sale that's been taking place, interesting some of the outcomes there, Seamus. Horses getting good money. That whole landscape is starting to change, isn't it?
Massively important, if you ask me, to the overall sales spectrum. I think it's fantastic for a few reasons. I am a big believer that that a lot of horses don't need to leave the paddock to go to the sales and so on at a price point that means that, you know, that they're you'd like to see them find new homes, and I think that the digital sales does that really, really well. Obviously, if you sell, away you go. If they don't, the horses remain where they are. I'm a I'm a big user, believer. I search all the catalogues. It's certainly a market with a few different operators that are come into it, but the English sale in particular obviously has grown enormously. I mean, they had too many lots for almost to hold it as a one session sale. So they're now doing two a month. And I'm a huge believer. I think it's a growth market, and I think it's a really good way to sell a horse.
Yeah. I mean, there are those that are speculative about the fact that you can't physically see the animal. What are your thoughts around that?
Oh, look, I've bought from these sales. Admittingly, I've bought from the top end of them. But I do go and look at the horses, or arrange to go and look at the horses, or arrange photos and videos that I'm feel comfortable with. I think it is a job that does require a little bit of work, a little bit of homework. But I think the catalogue's come out in enough time for you to be able to do that homework. And obviously it depends a little bit on price point. There'd be a price point at which I probably wouldn't get on a plane. But if I'm going to spend good money on one, part of the job. There's certainly enough agents and farms and so on around the country that can probably assist you if you do need more information than what's online. So, look, I think it's just a matter of doing your homework.
Mm. And the notable outcome from the recent English digital sale was Dagny, the multiple city-winning daughter of Darcy Brahma, topping that sale, Seamus, selling to Kitchwin Hills for $140,000.
Yeah, look, pretty reasonable sort of investment. I think that's about her mark as far as price goes. She is a beautiful-looking mare. She's a very big sort herself. So, once again, as I guess those who did their homework would know that. Sold to Kitchwin Hills, who have had a bit to do with the mare, and obviously would know how good a sort she is. So I think that's about her mark, and probably another example whereby if you do put a quality horse on there now, I think you get around your watermark.
And another major stud farm swept up a horse through that sale too, Seamus. The second top lot was Meraki Miss by I Am Invincible, a half-sister to the recent Group 1 Winx Stakes winner, Sama Doubt. Now, Arrowfield purchased her on she was offered by Derby Racing for $110,000.
Yeah, look, she is one that I did actually go and inspect. She was up at a spelling farm near Scone, and once again a really, really good type. So I'm sure Arrowfield, being just down the road, also did their homework on her. I didn't have that sort of money for her, but I could certainly see why she would make that sort of money. Fire goes, and with a current horse up and firing, I think you always attract a fair bit of interest.
Yeah. So these sales now, Seamus, take place twice a month.
Yeah, so they had, obviously they started at 5 p.m. and they had too many lots. They had people staying up to midnight bidding, so they had too many lots to sort of host it as a one-evening session. So it's now, they call it early September and late September, late October, early October each month. So, yeah, there'll be two sales a month now through Ingers. And look, the offerings are increased in number. I think they've increased in quality. So, yeah, speaking to the English guys, it's a platform that's become very important for them.
Yeah, and of course it's foaling season, Seamus. Very exciting time for the breeding industry and ultimately the racing industry to see what they go on and do. But we've had some high-profile mares give birth over the past couple of weeks. Last weekend on the program, we spoke to Peter O'Brien at Sedgenhoe with Vegas Showgirl, the Dam of Winx, delivering a foal by the former champion Japanese side Deep Impact. And this week, Jamaica had her first foal, the Caulfield Cup winner. We spoke with Cole McKenna at the top of the program this morning. A foal by Impending.
Yeah, look, they are very high profile foals to be born. I personally think that Vegas Showgirl, would be right up there with the most valuable foals born ever in Australia, probably the Southern Hemisphere. You know, obviously the Deep Impact passing and being a filly. You know, look, if someone asked me to do a valuation on that horse, you know, I would be saying it's 5 million plus. You know, obviously the Japanese are very strong in the bloodstock world throughout sales right through the world, and I think that filly would attract unbelievable international interest, but probably unlike we've seen before in this country. So I think Pete has a extremely valuable filly getting around the paddock up there. I'm sure he's got a full of cotton wool. And as for Jamaica, obviously Rick Jamieson, well-known breeder, very good at what he does, and Impending was probably considered an interesting first choice for her first foal. But he's a beautiful looking animal, Impending, and really well. I've had a look at the pedigree, and in my humble opinion, and on type as well, I think it's a great match. So we know Rick's capable of doing the job, and Jamaica's first foal, I'm sure, will be another one that's pretty valuable.
And they'll send her to Dundeal to be covered soon.
Which is, I mean, look, he's doing a fantastic job, Dundeal. I think high quality animals, and you know, I guess in a marketplace where people are struggling, perhaps to breed, sell stock that's going to get over a little bit of a trip. Obviously, there's a real discussion goes around the bloodstock world this time of year as to whether we're doing enough to breed a classic sale type horse, a classic type horse, potentially a cups horse, these sort of things. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion in that space around when the Cup Carnival comes each year, and I guess Dundeal Jamaica, maybe he'll breed a future Cup winner.
Seamus, great to have you join the conversation on Talking Horses. We look forward to having you back again next week.
Anytime, Joe. Appreciate it.
And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Talking Horses. Hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks to our special guests joining us this week, Cole McKenna, all the way from Ireland. And also we had Sebastian Hutch from Inglis and Seamus Mills joining us with his new segment, Insider Insights. We'll look forward to welcoming him back to the fray next week. Until then, take care. Bye for now.